cards were dealt, and there was nothing he could do now to alter them. He could only hope that Mara somehow had things under control. With anyone else, he wouldn't have bet on it. With Mara, there was a chance.
"And now," Thrawn said, "I believe you were going to show me around?"
"Yes," Card nodded. "If you come this way, please."
"Looks like the stormtroopers are leaving," Han said quietly, pressing the macro binoculars a little harder against his forehead.
"Some of them, anyway. Filing back into one of the shuttles."
"Let me see," Lando muttered from the other side of the tree. Keeping his movements slow and careful, Han handed the macro binoculars over. There was no telling what kind of equipment they had on those shuttles and TIE fighters, and he didn't especially trust all this talk about how good the trees were at sensor shielding.
"Yes, it seems to be just the one shuttle that's going," Lando agreed.
Han half-turned, the serrated grass-like plants they were lying on top of digging into his shirt with the movement.
"You get Imperial visitors here often?" he demanded.
"Not here," Gent shook his head nervously, his teeth almost chattering with tension. "They've been to the forest once or twice to pick up some Isla Mari, but they've never come to the base, at least not while I was here."
"Isla Mari?" Lando frowned. "What are those?"
"Little furry snakes with legs," Gent said. "I don't know what they're good for. Look, couldn't we get back to the ship now? Card told me I was supposed to keep you there, where you'd be safe." Han ignored him.
"What do you think?"
he asked Lando. The other shrugged.
"Gotta have something to do with that skip ray that went burning out of here just as Card was herding us out."
"They were some kind of prisoner," Gent offered. "Card and Jade had him stashed away. Maybe he got out. Now can we please get back to..."
"A prisoner?"
Lando repeated, frowning back at the kid.
"When did Card start dealing with prisoners?"
"Maybe when he started dealing with kidnappers,"
Han growled before Gent could answer.
"We don't deal with kidnappers,"
Gent protested.
"Well, you're dealing with one now,"
Han told him, nodding toward the group of Imperials.
"That little gray guy in there? That's one of the aliens who tried to kidnap Leia and me."
"What?"
Lando peered through the macro binoculars again.
"Are you sure?"
"It's one of the species, anyway. We didn't stop at the time to get names."
Han looked back at Gent.
"This prisoner, who was he?"
"I don't know,"
Gent shook his head.
"They brought him back on the wild card a few days ago and put him in the short-term barracks. I think they just moved him over to one of the storage sheds when we got word that the Imperials were coming down for a visit."
"What did he look like?"
"I don't know,"
Gent hissed, what little was left of his composure going fast. Skulking around forests and spying on armed stormtroopers was clearly not the sort of thing an expert slicer was supposed to have to put up with.
"None of us was supposed to go near him or ask any questions about him."
Lando caught Han's eye.
"Could be someone they don't want the Imperials to get a hold of. A defector, maybe, trying to get to the New Republic?"
Han felt his lip twist.
"I'm more worried right now about them having moved him out of the barracks. That could mean the stormtroopers are planning to move in for a while."
"Card didn't say anything about that,"
Gent objected.
"Card may not know it yet," Lando said dryly. "Trust me, I was on the short end of a stormtrooper bargain once."
He handed the macro binoculars back to Han.
"Looks like they're going inside."
They were indeed. Han watched as the procession set off. Card and the blue-skinned Imperial officer in front, the respective entourages following, the twin columns of stormtroopers flanking the whole parade.
"Any idea who that guy with the red eyes is?"
he asked Gent.
"I think he's a Grand Admiral or something,"
the other said.
"Took over Imperial operations a while back. I don't know his name."
Han looked at Lando, found the other sending the same look right back at him.
"A Grand Admiral," Lando repeated carefully.
"Yeah. Look, they're going, and there's nothing else to see. Can we please..."
"Let's get back to the Falcon,"
Han muttered, stowing the macro binoculars in their belt pouch and starting a backward elbows and knees crawl from their covering tree. A Grand Admiral. No wonder the New Republic had been getting the sky cut out from under them lately.
"I don't suppose you have any records on Imperial Grand Admirals back on the Falcon,"
Lando murmured, backing up alongside him.
No,
Han told him.
But they've got him on Coruscant.
Great, Lando said, the words almost lost in the hissing of the sharp-bladed grass as they elbowed their way through it.
Let's hope we live long enough to get this tidbit back there.
We will,
Han assured him grimly.
We'll stick around long enough to find out what kind of game Card's playing, but then we're gone. Even if we have to blow out of here with that camo net still hanging off the ship.
The strangest thing about waking up this time, Luke decided dimly, was that he didn't actually hurt anywhere. And he should have. From what he remembered of those last few seconds, and from the view of splintered trees outside the fighter's twisted canopy, he would have counted himself lucky even to be alive, let alone undamaged. Clearly the restraints and crash balloons had been augmented by something more sophisticated, an emergency acceleration compensator, perhaps. A shaky sort of gurgle came from behind him.
You okay, R2?
He called, levering himself out of his seat and climbing awkwardly across the canted floor.
Hang on. I'm coming.
The droid's information retrieval jack had been snapped off in the crash, but apart from that and a couple of minor dents, he didn't seem to have been damaged.
We'd better get moving, Luke told him, untangling him from his restraints. That other ship could be back with a ground party any time.
With an effort, he got R2 aft.
The hatchway door popped open without serious complaint. Hopping down, he looked around. The second fighter would not be returning with any ground parties. It was right here, in worse shape, if possible, than Luke's. From the hatchway, R2 whistled in squeamish-sounding awe. Luke glanced up at him, looked back at the ruined craft. Given the fighter's safety equipment, it was unlikely that Mara was seriously injured. A backup flight was inevitable. She would probably be able to hold out until then. But then again, she might not.
Wait here, R2, he told the droid. I'm going to take a quick look.
Even though the exterior of the fighter was in worse shape than Luke's, the interior actually seemed to be a little better off. Crunching his way across the bits of debris in the weapon-slash-tech area, he stepped into the cockpit doorway. Only the top of the pilot's head showed over the seat back, but that shimmering red-gold hair was all he needed to see to know that his earlier guess had been correct. It was indeed Mara Jade who'd been chasing him. For a pair of heartbeats, he stayed where he was, torn between the need for haste and the need to satisfy his internal sense of ethics. He and R2 had to get out of here with all possible speed. That much was obvious. But if he turned his back on Mara now, without even pausing to check her condition... His mind flashed back to Coruscant, to the night Ben Kenobi had said his final farewells. In other words, he told 3PO later up on the roof, a Jedi can't get so caught up in matters of galactic importance that it interferes with his concern for individual people. And it would, after all, only take a minute. Stepping into the room, he looked around the seat back, directly into a pair of wide-open, perfectly conscious green eyes. Green eyes that stared at him over the barrel of a tiny blaster.
I figured you'd come, she said,
her voice grimly satisfied.
Back up, now.
He did as ordered.
Are you hurt at all? He asked. None of your business, she retorted.
She climbed out of the seat, pulling a small flat case from under the chair with her free hand as she stood up. Another glitter caught his eye. She was again wearing his lightsaber on her belt.
There's a case in that compartment just over the exit hatch, she told him. Get it.
He found the release and got the compartment open. Inside was an unfamiliarly labeled metal case with the very familiar look of a survival kit to it.
I hope we're not going to have to walk the whole way back, he commented, pulling the bag out and dropping out the hatchway. I won't, she countered.
She seemed to hesitate, just a little, before following him down to the ground.
Whether you make the trip back at all is another question.
He locked gazes with her.
Finishing what you started with this? He asked, nodding at his wrecked ship.
She snorted.
Listen, buddy boy, it was you who took us down, not me. My only mistake was being stupid enough to be sitting too close to your tail when you hit the trees. Put the bag down and get the droid out of there.
Luke did as he was told. By the time R2 was down beside him, she had the survival kit's lid open and was fiddling one-handed with something inside.
Just stay right there, she told him, and keep your hands where I can see them.
She paused, cocking her head slightly to the side as if listening. A moment later, in the distance, Luke could hear the faint sound of an approaching ship.
Sounds like our ride back is already on the way, Mara said. I want you and the droid...
She stopped in mid-sentence, her eyes going strangely unfocused, her throat tight with concentration. Luke frowned, eyes and ears searching for the problem. Abruptly, she slammed the survival kit lid shut and scooped it up.
Move!
She snapped, gesturing away from the wrecked fighters. With her blaster hand, she picked up the flat box she'd been carrying and wedged it under her left arm.
Into the trees, both of you! I said move!
There was something in her voice, command or urgency, or both, that stifled argument or even question. Within a handful of seconds, Luke and R2 were under cover of the nearest trees.
Farther in, she ordered. Come on, move it!
Belatedly, it occurred to Luke that this might all be some macabre joke, that all Mara really wanted was to shoot him in the back and be able to claim afterward that he'd been running away. But she was right behind him, close enough that he could hear her breathing and occasionally feel the tip of her blaster as it brushed his back. They made it perhaps 10 meters farther in. Luke leaned down to help R2 across a particularly wide route.
Far enough, Mara hissed in his ear. Hide the droid and then hit dirt.
Luke got R2 over the root and behind a tree, and as he dropped down beside Mara, he suddenly understood. Hanging in midair over the wrecked fighters, rotating slowly like a hovering raptor searching for prey, was an Imperial shuttle. A small motion caught the corner of his eye, and he turned his head to look directly into the muzzle of Mara's blaster.
Not a move, she whispered,
her breath warm on his cheek.
Not a sound.
He nodded, understanding, and turned back to watch the shuttle. Mara slid her arm over his shoulders, pressed her blaster into the hinge of his jaw, and did the same. The shuttle finished its circle and settled gingerly to the torn-up ground between the ruined fighters. Even before it was completely down, the ramp dropped and began disgorging stormtroopers. Luke watched as they split up and headed off to search the two ships, the strangeness of the whole situation adding an unreal tinge to the scene. There, less than 20 meters away, was Mara's golden opportunity to turn him over to the Imperials. And yet here they both lay, hiding behind a tree root and trying not to breathe too loudly. Had she suddenly changed her mind? Or was it simply that she didn't want any witnesses nearby when she killed him? In which case, Luke realized abruptly, his best chance might actually be to find some way of surrendering to the stormtroopers. Once away from this planet, with the Force as his ally again, he would at least have a fighting chance. If he could just find a way to distract Mara long enough to get rid of her blaster... Lying pressed against his side, her arms slung across his shoulders. She must have sensed the sudden tensing of muscles.
Whatever you're thinking about trying, don't!
She breathed in his ear, digging her blaster a little harder into his skin.
I can easily claim you were holding me prisoner out here and that I managed to snatch the blaster away from you.
Luke swallowed and settled in to wait. The wait wasn't very long. Two groups of stormtroopers disappeared into the fighters, while the rest walked around the edge of the newly created clearing, probing with eyes and portable sensors into the forest. After a few minutes, those inside the fighters emerged, and what seemed to be a short meeting was held between them at the base of the shuttle ramp. At an inaudible command, the outer ring of searchers came back in to join them, and a whole crowd trooped into their ship. The ramp sealed, and the shuttle disappeared once more into the sky, leaving nothing but the hum of its repulsor lifts behind. A minute later, even that was gone. Luke got his hands under him, started to get up.
Well, I...
He broke off at another jab of the blaster.
Quiet!
Mara muttered.
They'll have left a sensor behind just in case someone comes back.
Luke frowned.
How do you know? Because that's standard stormtrooper procedure in a case like this. she growled. Real quiet now. We get up and grab some more distance. And keep the droid quiet, too.
They were completely out of sight of the wrecked fighters, and probably another 50 meters past that before she called a halt.
What now? Luke asked.
We sit down,
she told him. Luke nodded and eased to the ground. Thank you for not turning me into the stormtroopers.
Save it,
she said shortly, sitting down carefully herself and laying her blaster on the ground beside her.
Don't worry. There wasn't anything altruistic about it. The incoming shuttles must have seen us and sent a group over to investigate. Card's going to have to spin them some sort of sugar story about what happened, and I can't just walk into their arms until I know what that story is.
She set the small flat box on her lap and opened it.
You could call him, Luke reminded her.
I could also call the Imperials directly and save myself some time,
she retorted.
Unless you don't think they've got the equipment to monitor anything I send. Now shut up! I've got work to do.
For a few minutes, she worked at the flat box in silence, fiddling with a tiny keyboard and frowning at something Luke couldn't see from his angle. At irregular intervals, she looked up, apparently to make sure he wasn't trying anything. Luke waited, and abruptly she grunted in satisfaction.
3 days, she said aloud, closing the box.
3 days to what? Luke asked.
The edge of the forest, she told him, gazing at him with unblinking eyes. Civilization. Well, Hillard City anyway, which is about as close as this part of the planet gets to it.
And how many of us will be going there?
Luke asked quietly.
That's the question, isn't it?
She agreed, her tone icy.
Can you give me any reason why I should bother taking you along?
Sure.
Luke inclined his head to the side.
R2.
Don't be absurd.
Her eyes flicked to the droid, back at Luke.
Whatever happens, the droid stays here, in pieces.
Luke stared at her.
In pieces?
What? You need it spelled out?
She retorted.
The droid knows too much. We can't leave it here for the stormtroopers to find.
Knows too much about what?
You, of course. You, Card, me, this whole stupid mess.
R2 moaned softly.
He won't tell them anything,
Luke insisted.
Not after it's in pieces, no,
Mara agreed. With an effort, Luke forced himself to calm down. Logic, not fervor, was the only way to change her mind.
We need him, he told her.
You told me yourself the forest was dangerous.
R2 has sensors that can spot predators before they get close enough to strike.
Maybe, maybe not,
she countered.
The vegetation here limits sensor ranges down to practically zero.
It'll still be better than you or I could do,
Luke said.
And he'll also be able to watch while we're sleeping.
She raised her eyebrows slightly.
We?
We, Luke said. I don't think he'll be willing to protect you unless I'm along.
Mara shook her head.
No good,
she said, picking up her blaster.
I can get along without him, and I certainly don't need you.
Luke felt his throat tighten.
Are you sure you're not letting your emotions get in the way of your judgment?
He asked. He hadn't thought her eyes could get any harder than they already were. He was wrong.
Let me tell you something, Skywalker,
she said in a voice almost too soft for him to hear.
I've wanted to kill you for a long time. I dreamed about your death every night for most of that first year. Dreamed it, plotted it. I must have run through 1,000 scenarios, trying to find exactly the right way to do it. You can call it a cloud on my judgment if you want to. I'm used to it by now. It's the closest thing I've got to a permanent companion.
Luke looked back into those eyes, shaken right down to the core of his soul.
What did I do to you?
He whispered.
You destroyed my life,
she said bitterly.
It's only fair that I destroy yours.
Will killing me bring your old life back?
You know better than that,
she said, her voice trembling slightly.
But it's still something I have to do. For myself, and for...
She broke off.
What about Card?
Luke asked.
What about him?
I thought he still wanted me kept alive.
She snorted.
We all want things we can't have.
But for just a second, there was something in her eyes. Something else that flickered through the hatred. But whatever it wasn't enough.
I almost wish I could drag it out a little more,
she said, glacially calm again, as she lifted the blaster.
But I don't have the time to spare.
Luke stared at the muzzle of her blaster, his mind frantically searching for inspiration.
Wait a minute, he said suddenly. You said you needed to find out what Card had told the Imperials. What if I could get you a secure comm channel to him?
The muzzle of the blaster wavered.
How?
She asked suspiciously. Luke nodded toward her survival kit.
Does the communicator in there have enough range to reach back to the base? I mean, without satellite boosting or anything?
She was still looking suspicious.
There's a sond balloon included that can take the antenna high enough to get past most of the forest damping. But it's non-directional, which means the Imperials and anyone else in this hemisphere will be able to listen in.
That's okay, Luke said. I can encrypt it so that no one else will be able to get anything out of it. Or rather, R2 can. Mara smiled thinly.
Wonderful. Except for one minor detail. If the encrypt is that good, how is Card supposed to decrypt it?
He won't have to, Luke told her.
The computer in my X-Wing will do it for him.
The thin smile vanished from Mara's face.
You're stalling, she snarled. You can't do a counterpart encrypt between an astromech droid and a ship computer.
Why not? R2's the only droid who's worked with that computer in more than 5 years, with close to 3,000 hours of flight time. He's bound to have molded it to his own personality by now. In fact, I know he has. The ground maintenance people have to run diagnostics through him to make any sense out of them.
I thought standard procedure was to wipe and reload droid memories every 6 months, to keep that from happening.
I like R2 the way he is, Luke said.
And he and the X-Wing work better together this way. How much better?
Luke searched his memory. Maintenance had run that test just a few months ago.
I don't remember the exact number. It was something like 30% faster than a baseline astromech X-Wing interface. Maybe 35.
Mara was staring hard at R2.
That's counterpart level speed, all right,
she agreed reluctantly.
The Imperials could still crack it, though.
Eventually. But it would take some specialized equipment to do it. And you said yourself we'd be out of here in 3 days. For a long minute, she stared at him, her jaw tight with clenched teeth, her face a mirror of fiercely battling emotions. Bitterness, hatred, desire for survival. And something else. Something that Luke could almost believe might be a touch of loyalty.
Your ship sitting all alone out in the forest, she growled at last. How are you going to get the message back to Card?
Someone's bound to check on the ship eventually, he pointed out. All we have to do is dump the message into storage and leave some kind of signal flashing that it's there. You have people who know how to pull a dump, don't you?
Any idiot knows how to pull a dump,
Mara glared at him.
Funny, isn't it? How this scheme just happens to require that I keep both of you alive a while longer?
Luke remained silent, meeting that bitter gaze without flinching. And then, abruptly, Mara's internal battle seemed to end.
What about the droid? She demanded. It'll take forever to get it across this terrain.
R2's made it through forests before. However, Luke looked around, spotted a tree with two low branches just the right size. I should be able to rig up a dragging frame to carry him on. A travoy or something like that. He started to get up. If you'll give me my lightsaber for a minute, I can cut a couple of those branches off.
Sit down! She ordered, standing up. I'll do it.
Well, it had been worth a try. Those two, he told her, pointing.
Be careful. Lightsabers are tricky to handle. Your concern for my welfare is touching, she said, her voice dripping sarcasm.
She drew the lightsaber and stepped over to the indicated tree, keeping an eye on Luke the whole time. She raised the weapon, ignited it, and in a handful of quick, sure swipes, trimmed, shortened, and cut the branches from the tree. She closed down the weapon and returned it to her belt in a single smooth motion.
Help yourself, she said, moving away.
Right, Luke said mechanically, his mind tingling with astonishment as he stumbled over to collect the branches. The way she'd done that.
You've used a lightsaber before.
She gazed at him coldly.
Just so you know, I can handle it. In case you should feel tempted to try and make a grab for my blaster.
She glanced upward at the darkening sky.
Come on, get busy with that travoy. We'll need to find some kind of clearing to put the sond balloon up, and I want to get that done before nightfall.
Chapter 24.
I must apologize for chasing you out like that, Card said as he walked Han toward the central building. Particularly in the middle of a meal. Not exactly the sort of hospitality we strive for here.
No problem,
Han told him, eyeing him as best he could in the gathering dusk. The light from the building ahead was casting a faint glow on Card's face. With luck, it would be enough to read the other's expression by.
What was that all about, anyway?
Nothing serious, Card assured him easily. Some people with whom I've had business dealings wanted to come and look the place over.
Ah,
Han said.
So you're working directly for the Empire now?
Card's expression cracked just a little. Han expected him to make some sort of reflexive denial. Instead, he stopped and turned to look at Lando and Ghent, walking behind them.
Ghent, he asked mildly.
I'm sorry, sir, the kid said, sounding miserable. They insisted on coming out to see what was happening.
I see.
Card looked back at Han, his face calm again.
No harm done, probably. Not the wisest of risks to take, though.
I'm used to taking risks,
Han told him.
You haven't answered my question.
Card resumed walking.
If I'm not interested in working for the Republic, I'm certainly not interested in working for the Empire. The Imperials have been coming here for the past few weeks to collect Issel Amiri, sessile creatures like the ones hanging onto the tree in the Great Room. I offered my assistance in helping them safely remove the Issel Amiri from their trees.
What did you get in return?
The privilege of watching them work,
Card said.
Giving me that much extra information to try to figure out what they wanted with the things.
And what did they want with them?
Card glanced at Han.
Information costs money here, Solo. Actually, to be perfectly honest, we don't know what they're up to. We're working on it, though.
I see. But you do know their commander personally.
Card smiled faintly.
That's information again.
Han was starting to get sick of this.
Have it your way. What'll this Grand Admiral's name cost me?
For the moment, the name's not for sale,
he told Han.
Perhaps we'll talk about it later.
Thanks, but I don't think there's going to be a later,
Han growled, stopping.
If you don't mind, we'll just say our goodbyes here and get back to the ship.
Card turned to him in mild surprise.
You're not going to finish our dinner? You hardly had a chance to get started.
Han looked him straight in the eye.
I don't especially like sitting on the ground like a practice target when there are stormtroopers wandering around,
he said bluntly. Card's face hardened.
At the moment, sitting on the ground is preferable to drawing attention in the air,
he said coldly.
The Star Destroyer hasn't left orbit yet. Lifting off now would be an open invitation for them to swat you down.
The Falcons outrun Star Destroyers before,
Han countered. But Card had a point, and the fact that he hadn't turned the two of them over to the Imperials probably meant that he could be trusted. At least for now. Probably. On the other hand, if they did stay...
But I suppose it wouldn't hurt us to stick around a little longer,
he conceded.
All right. Sure. We'll finish dinner.
Good, Card said. It will just take a few minutes to get things put back together.
You took everything apart?
Lando asked.
Everything that might have indicated we had guests, Card said. The Grand Admiral is highly observant, and I wouldn't have put it past him to know exactly how many of my associates are staying here at the moment.
Well, While you're getting things ready, Han said, I want to go back to the ship and check on a couple of things.
Card's eyes narrowed slightly.
But you will be back.
Han gave him an innocent smile.
Trust me.
Card gazed at him a moment longer, then shrugged.
Very well. Watch yourselves, though. The local predators don't normally come this close to our encampment, but there are exceptions.